Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight and let's turn there to John 15:13. John 15:13. John 15:13. I'll say the reference and if we can say the verse together and the reference. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Let's do it again. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. One last time. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Let's see, Andrew, why don't we just switch to this? We had to send in one of our other microphones, and this other one doesn't do well in this auditorium with the echoes we have in here. So pray that we could get that other mic back quickly. Well, let's go then to Ephesians 5:19. So we're switching gears. So we're doing the music on Sunday nights. Now we're doing that on Wednesday nights, and we're doing evangelism on Sunday nights. Kind of give it a little change up here the rest of the semester, Lord willing. Ephesians 5:19. So we've been looking at the control of music. Number one, it should give peace. And number two, we're looking at tonight, it should be pleasant. Should be pleasant. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. And Lord, in these trying times, it makes us appreciate all the more being able to gather together and worship. And Lord, we do pray for all of our folks that during this time are having to lay low because of the sickness going around. I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, please speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5:19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So our music should be pleasant. You notice the word melody there. It says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The word melody, this is a definition from Webster's 7th New Collegiate Dictionary. Harmony means a sweet and agreeable sound, an organized tone. Now, rock music doesn't fit that category. Melody means harmony. It means a sweet and agreeable sound, an organized tone. And with rock and roll, I think of it like the heavy metal type. It's just like screeching electric guitars, and I would not call it a sweet harmony by any stretch of the imagination. So often there's no particular melody in rock music. It's like so many times rock music provides the rhythm. The melody the person has to provide with their voice, and that's often the case with guitars. It's just, especially when they're strum, all it's providing is rhythm and no melody. Now, a guitar can produce melody if the notes are plucked out on it, but just as the world just strums the guitar, all it's doing is providing a rhythm. And so until the person starts singing, you don't even know what the melody is. You know, that's often the case with contemporary music. You don't know what the melody is until the lead vocalist starts singing, and then there might not be much of a melody to it. So this is a standard of God here, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, most of the time when you turn on a so-called Christian radio station, you don't even know it's a Christian station until the announcer states what it is. Some of my sons shared that with me where they work. I don't know if the shop is allowed to have the radio anymore. I think each individual has to have their own music, praise the Lord. But anyway, somebody was listening to the music, and when when the music stopped and the announcer stated that it was a Christian station, the guy went over and turned the channel. I mean, he was enjoying the rock beat until the guy said it was a Christian station. And then, oh, whoops. Listen to the wrong station. So the music is the same, sadly. You know, the Bible talks about singing a new song. And that's not forsaking hymns. That's talking about forsaking the world's music. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. For you young people, I mean, you're already seeing it now, but one of the big tasks that you have in your lives, if the Lord tarries is coming, is trying to keep church music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's going to be a big task that's on your shoulders, to try to keep it right in your lives, because it's already bad enough now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. So all things are become what? New. So isn't it strange when someone gets saved and they're still carrying around the same old rock beat? That means all things didn't become new. But it's supposed to, isn't it? So we're to leave behind that old rock beat. And a lot of times people justify the music by saying, well, the music is not important, it's the words. But I've given you many quotes by the rockers, rock and roll crowd. And, you know, one of the quotes was, this is a world rock and roller saying, he said, I've been stoned on the music many times. Now, it's not like the Apostle Paul being stoned. He's referring to back when I was younger. If someone says they got stoned, it means they got high on drugs, you know, versus getting drunk. Well, back in my day, when someone said they were stoned, that means they were high on drugs. Well, that's what this rock and roller was referring to. He said, I've been stoned on the music many times. It's a drug all of its own. It's that rhythm. It's that beat. So it's not just the words that are important. It's the music. And just to prove that, churches that go in the direction of rock music eventually forsake hymns altogether. And I've given you some quotes not too many weeks ago about that. And so some people are saying, I mean, some people are really liberal in the sense of being generous and saying, well, you know, I agreed to let you play some of your music in church, but why have you totally cut out the hymns now? And that's what they do. Because it's addictive, that beat, that music. And once you go that route, you're not satisfied with the hymns. What I love is when we have special music and young people raise their hands that they want to sing one of these songs. And you know what? That tells me they like the songs. But I won't ask you to raise your hand, but, water seems good until maybe you have something else to drink. And I'm not talking about alcohol. But I'm talking about something with some flavor to it or some fizz to it or whatever. And then, so sometimes people then say, oh, water is too bland. So that's the way it is, though, with music. If you whet somebody's appetite for something, they'll have a hard time coming back to him. So, the only people in the world that say music is neutral, that is, the sound, just the music, forgetting the words now, just the only people in the world that say music is neutral is the Christian contemporary crowd. No one else believes that because everyone knows that's not true. I've often said, why do film producers still have a music track to their movies? When I was a boy, when I was really little, all I remember seeing was black and white TV. And then they went to color. But you know what? It doesn't matter, despite all those years, whether it's black and white or whether it's color, they still have their music. Still. Why? Because it sets the tone for the scene. Whether it's dangerous, whether it's silly, whatever. We could get some of our violinists up here to just real go some notes real quick with their violin, and it would be like, ooh, what's going to happen? I mean, it just sets you on your edge. It's like something dangerous is going to happen. And they can just do just the right notes. With the piano, you can do similar things with the piano. Just the right combination of notes, and it just sounds dangerous. It just sounds like something's going to happen at any minute. So music is not neutral. As we've often said, it's just like the alphabet. A is neutral. But put a B before it and a D after it, and what does it spell? Bad. Okay. So now I have something bad. I have three letters of the alphabet, and now I've ended up with something bad because that's how I arrange the letters. It's the same with musical notes. A musical note is neutral as long as it stands alone. But as soon as you put it with other musical notes, it sets a mood, sets a tone. So no such thing as neutral music. So our music should bring forth peace. It should be pleasant. So the Bible says here, I guess we've left at Ephesians 5:19, but melody in our hearts to the Lord. God wants us to have music that has a melody. And then number three, it should be pure. It should be pure. And let's go back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 19. It should be pure. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where? In your heart to who? To the Lord. So it should be pure. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. So we just read, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's so important to have the right music. Then Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6. Amos 6 and verse 1. Now we have to be careful in our lives because we can get settled in a state of ease and comfort, and that is not going to necessarily make us spiritual. In Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, woe unto them that are what? At ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. So it says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Notice in Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. Now there's one man that fell in, actually he was a preacher. He fell into sin. And then he used the excuse, well, I was working 100 hours a week and I was tired. And that's no excuse, is it? Whether we're working a lot of hours or not working enough hours. Because notice here in Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and what? Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So with Sodom, their problem is they had abundance of idleness. They didn't have enough to do. And they fell into wretched sin. You know, it's nice sometimes to get away. Just plan your getaways when you're not going to be stuck with a coronavirus, you know, somewhere. Like right now, people get stranded. I think of Sister Esther. Their wedding is Friday, right? Sister Lydia and her husband just got married and was going to go on a cruise, right? I think they're very fortunate to have missed that cruise, is what I would say. I'd rather miss a cruise than get stuck on a cruise indefinitely. That's for sure. But there's nothing wrong with planning a honeymoon or a vacation, a time just to get some refreshment. But with Sodom, abundance of idleness was in her. And notice in Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28, Matthew 11:28. You know, sometimes we may think, oh, wow, I am so busy and so stressed. I've just got to get away. Let's go on vacation. But notice this instruction here, Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are what? Heavy laden. So it's not only laboring, but just feeling the weight and the pressure. And he says, I will give you rest. Oh, wow, Lord, where are you going to send us? We talked to Brother Medichera some weeks ago, and I think I told you. They have three preachers over there. Two of them were in Florida, and one was in Hawaii. And so they asked him to preach. And he was just saying, you know, with all they had to scrape the bottom of the barrel, you know, all that was left was me, you know, kind of that idea. And I said, yeah, I hear that you have, you know, two preachers in Florida and one in Hawaii. And he says, whoops, you weren't supposed to know that. So I don't know if their people knew where they all were. I don't know. But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, where is Jesus going to send us? Well, look at verse 29. Take my what? Yoke upon you. What does a yoke speak of? Work. Work or eggs? In this instance, work. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. Now, isn't that interesting? When we are feeling like we've got a lot of labor and we are heavy laden, I mean, we're just burdened down from it, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your soul. So, you know how it goes. You know, if you are troubled about something, probably the worst thing you could do is go sit. I mean, when you're troubled. If you're going to go read your Bible, that's fine. But if you're troubled about something and you have a lot of time on your hands, that's probably not a good thing. That's probably a bad thing. What is a good thing? When we're kind of down and discouraged, what's a good thing to do? Work. Help somebody else. When we are down and discouraged about something, one of the greatest things we can do is get in that yoke with the Lord and go help somebody. Sister Leah, Sister Evella, Sister Kay. How many would like to go help Sister Kay? Some of you want to go to Florida too, I think. So that's the best thing to do, is just get busy helping somebody else. And what does it do? It gets our mind off what? Our own problems, yeah. Why is it that little children often never tell us that their ear aches or something else hurts until they get in bed? You know why? You know, a little child can run around even though they hurt, they just forget about it. But once they lay down, that's what they think about. Oh, my ear hurts. Mommy, Daddy, my ear hurts. Why didn't you tell me that before the doctor closed? It seems like it always goes that way. So many things are in the middle of the night. Why is that? Well, I don't think they're trying to hide it. It's just that they love to play, and their minds get focused on that. And so the same with us. And so music is so important. My point with that is that, you know, sometimes people say, well, classical music helps me to relax. Well, what could help us relax more than psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Because that puts our minds on the Lord. So if I'm troubled about something and I'm listening to classical music, my mind, unless you know for some reason the words to a classical song, your mind is just kind of put in neutral, and that's really not going to help the trouble, whatever it is. Notice in Isaiah chapter 26. That's why many times, and oftentimes I don't do it like I should, but like when a new song is sung here that we're not used to, I like to put the words in the bulletin, because otherwise you're just hearing the sound, but you're not really appreciating what they're singing many times, because it is really, when you hear a brand new song, it is really hard to distinguish every word that's being sung. It's just tough. But Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace. Who's what? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Staying our minds upon him. That's what keeps us in perfect peace. So, notice back in Amos chapter 6. Now, David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel, but I want you to notice back here in Amos 6. And verse 5. Well, in fact, let's back up a little bit here. And verse 4, Amos 6:4. Remember, we've already seen in verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock. And the calves out of the midst of the stall. Everything is a life of ease to them. Beds of ivory. Did you realize how expensive a bed would be that was made out of ivory? And then they stretch on their couches, eating the lambs out of the flock, the calves out of the midst of the stall. I mean, their meat has to be the most tender. Their life is tender. You know, expensive beds, couches. But notice then in verse 5, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like who? David. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive. And the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate what? His palaces, where those ivory beds are, and those couches, and where that music is played, where they chant. I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. The Lord was not happy. These people invented instruments of music like David, but God was not happy with their music. So, we just have to be careful, don't we? What type of rhythm we get going, what we play, and the words that we sing. In closing for this time, let's go to 2 Samuel 23. So they were inventing to themselves instruments of music like David, but God wasn't pleased with it. In 2 Samuel 23:1, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the what? Sweet psalmist of Israel said." I just pray that God would help us to be like David in this regard, that someone could refer to us as a sweet psalmist. And we look, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms are scripture. Hymns are sacred music. And spiritual music is that which reaches the spirit, not the flesh. The contemporary crowd puts theirs, they try to put their music in the spiritual category, but it does not fit. Have you ever seen one of those child's toys where, oh, things might be star-shaped and square and round, and the little child has to learn which to put through the hole so it goes inside? Well, the contemporary crowd tries to put contemporary music in the spiritual category, but it doesn't fit. And so may the Lord help us. This is going to be a challenge. You know, the world is facing the challenge of this coronavirus. But our greatest challenge, one of our greatest challenges as Christians, will be music all of our days. The rock beat is like a plague. It is like a pestilence. It is an infectious disease. Part of the problem with this coronavirus is just how contagious it is. That's one of the huge problems with rock music. It is so contagious. That rhythm, that beat, people do get stoned on it. They do get addicted to it. And I just pray for you young people in your lives that God would give you the strength just to be a sweet psalmist all your days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us in the matter of music. We need your help. And Father, they're talking about with this virus trying to isolate people, but we know that in this world, there's no way to isolate ourselves from the rock beat that is everywhere. But I pray, Lord, you'd help us to keep the church and our personal lives a safe place, a quarantine place where we don't listen to that kind of music, where we allow your word to minister to our hearts through godly music. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.